Good morning. I want to welcome you to our service today. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. While you're turning there, I have a card I'd like to read. It says, in appreciation, Brother Keith, it meant so much for you and your family to come and see our mama one last time. She and Dad that love you and New Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers, Randolph Cooper, Pam, Cindy, and Karen. During a time like this, we realize how much our friends and family really mean to us. Your expression of sympathy will always be remembered. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. Appreciate you coming out to be with us. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read verse number 13. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, thankful, first of all, just to be alive, and thankful that we have the health and the means to be here. I thank you for those that are present with us today. And Lord, for others that would like to be here but are not, we pray for them. Ask, Lord, that you bless them wherever they are, whatever their situation. Lord, that you would help them to be back with us soon. And Lord, for others that are just apathetic and don't care and love this world more than you, I pray, God, that you'd deal with their heart this morning. Lord, that you'd help them to make you the priority in their lives. Lord, I pray now that as I try to preach that you would fill me with your spirit, that I can say exactly what you want said. Lord, I pray you would use the message as only you can. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us today to examine our own hearts, our own lives. And Lord, if there's anything that we need to get straightened out, I pray you'd help us to do that. And Lord, help us to be sure that we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for everything that you accomplish. And we'll thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday I started a message titled, That Ye May Know. That Ye May Know. And in this message, I'm dealing with the struggle many saved people have with doubting their salvation. And as I mentioned last Sunday, for a lot of Christians, this is a real struggle. It's a constant struggle. It is a reoccurring issue in their life. So my goal in this message is to help anyone who is plagued with this problem live with the assurance of your salvation that the Lord intends for you to have. If you look once again here at 1 John 5 and verse number 13, you'll see very clearly that the Lord wants you to know that you have eternal life. The Bible says here, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So this is written to believers. It's not written to unbelievers. It's not written to people who aren't saved. It's written to people who are believers, people that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says, speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. The Lord doesn't want you to hope you have eternal life. He doesn't want you to think you have eternal life. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to live with the assurance of your salvation. So that is my goal in the message. The goal is to hopefully help anyone who is struggling in this area get victory and live with the assurance of their salvation. And to do this, there's really three main points that I'm addressing on this matter of Christians doubting their salvation. First of all, there is the causes of doubt, then the consequences of doubt, and finally, the cure for doubt. Now, if you were here last Sunday, you'll remember, hopefully, that I spent our time together talking about the causes for doubt. And if you weren't here or you have not listened to that part of the message, I would encourage you to go to our website and listen to what I had to say about the causes or the reasons why many people doubt their salvation, because I believe that is very important. I believe that one of the main keys or steps to overcoming any problem is to first understand the cause or causes for that problem. For example, and you could use a whole myriad of illustrations, but for example, say you have a boat, and that boat is taking on water. Whenever you put it out on the water, it takes on water. Obviously, you have a problem because boats are not designed or intended to take on water. So when you see the water, you understand, okay, I got a problem here. Something is wrong. But before you can solve that problem, you got to figure out what's causing the problem. Amen? That's the only way you have opportunity or chance to fix that problem. Maybe you got a hole in the hull or a crack in the hull or a rivet that's come loose or a faulty plug or drain plug. It could be any number of things. But before you can ever solve the problem, you got to figure out what is causing the problem. And the same is true when it comes to our spiritual lives. The only way you'll ever be able to really get a handle on doubting your salvation is to understand the reasons why you're doubting your salvation. So it's important, I think, to understand these causes. But now, having said that, I want to move on today and try to finish this message. I want to talk about the consequences of doubt and the cure for doubt. First of all, the consequences of doubt. What are the results of doubting your salvation? How does it affect your life? Does it have any effect on your life whatsoever? I think it's important that we understand these consequences, just like it's important that we understand the causes. Because again, if a person doesn't realize that a problem is serious, if they think it's something minimal and not really that big of an issue, they will try to continue living with the problem. You see it all the time. You'll see people that'll have an issue with something, but because they don't think it's really all that big of a deal and it really doesn't have that big of an impact on their life, they'll just go on living and never really address the problem. So I think it's important that you understand how serious an issue it is for you as a child of God to live doubting your salvation. It is much more significant, I believe, than a lot of Christians comprehend. So I want to give you some of the consequences of doubting your salvation. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. I simply don't have the time to go into all the consequences. But these are some things that stand out to me. First of all, I want to say this. When you live in a constant, continual state of doubt, one thing you cannot have is the peace of God. You cannot have it. If you live constantly doubting your salvation, you will not have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keeping your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I tell you what you will have. If you live constantly doubting your salvation, you'll have worry. You'll have fear. You'll have a degree of stress and anxiety. You'll have confusion. You will even sometimes be tormented by the doubt that you have. For example, and I don't think she would mind me mentioning this, but we had a good example of what I'm talking about shared with us some months back whenever on Sunday nights we were all giving our testimonies. Y'all remember that? Several people within our congregation came and gave their testimony, and Miss Debbie Turner agreed to come and give her testimony. She was a little bit hesitant about doing it, but she finally agreed to come. And one thing that she told us, and I don't know if you remember this, but one thing she shared with us was how that because of some faulty teaching she got coming up, that she lived for a lot of years without the assurance of her salvation. She lived a long time struggling in her mind and heart with that issue, and she expressed to us how it bothered her, how worried and concerned she was, how fearful and anxious she was, how it literally tormented her mind until the day came that she finally got that issue resolved and knew in her heart that she was saved and on her way to heaven. And that is exactly what it will do in your life. It will keep you from living in the peace of God that the Lord intends you to have. You'll never have that peace as long as you live in doubt. You know why? You'll always be worried about going to hell. I mean, listen, let's think about it for a moment. What is the big reason why people are concerned, the ones who are? What is the big reason, the biggest reason above all, why people are concerned about dying and going out into eternity? What is the overall thing for those who actually believe there is a heaven and is a hell? I know we got a lot of agnostic, atheistic people in this world who deny all that. But for those of us that still got some sense, amen, and actually believe there is a heaven and is a hell, we really believe that. What is the big concern that most have about going out into eternity? They're afraid they're going to go to hell, right? They don't want to go to hell. They don't want to burn in hell for all eternity. They don't want that. So if you don't know that you're saved, you'll always have that fear and that dread. It will torment you and dog you throughout your Christian life. And listen, that is not how God wants His children to live. He wants you to live in peace, knowing that no matter what happens, whenever your time comes, you'll be with Him in heaven. That's what the Lord wants. So one consequence is no peace. You'll live without the peace of God. A second consequence, and I got to move on through these so that I can get finished with this message, but a second consequence is no joy. No full and lasting joy of salvation. You cannot have that and live perpetually in doubt. In Psalm 51, this is something David prays. David says this, "Restore unto me," what? "The joy of thy salvation." You know one thing that shows me? It shows me there's joy in being saved. He says restore. Now he had lost the joy. That's why he's praying restore the joy. But the very fact that he says restore to me the joy of thy salvation shows there is joy in being saved. Now you can't tell that by looking at most Christians nowadays. Amen. Most Christians look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. That's the truth. Just an absence of real joy. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but I'll tell you one reason why some people don't have the joy of their salvation is because they don't even know for sure they're saved. Think about it for a minute. How can I enjoy something I don't even know I possess? Y'all following what I'm saying? One of the consequences of doubting your salvation is it will rob you of the joy that God wants you to experience as His child. One of the reasons why there is joy, not by any means the only reason, but one of the reasons why there is joy in salvation is because you are at rest, not worrying about death and eternity. Listen, I can get up here and sing these songs that talk about going out into eternity and how wonderful it's going to be. And I can enjoy that because I know that's where I'm going when I leave this world. But if you don't have that assurance, you can't enjoy that reality. So it will rob you of joy. Third consequence is this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because unless the Lord changes my mind, it's going to be the subject for my next message. But I want to say this. One of the consequences of doubting your salvation is that it will prevent spiritual growth. It will prevent spiritual growth. It'll hold you back. It'll keep you from moving on in your life as a Christian, growing and maturing and becoming the child of God that the Lord wants you to become. And the reason is because instead of focusing on growth, which is what we should do, those of us who are saved. Amen? Y'all still with me? That should be the focus. Once I'm saved and that issue is settled in my heart, the focus then should be on growing as a Christian. But if I'm doubting my salvation, instead of focusing on growing, I'm stuck right here. Y'all understand? I'm stuck right here. Instead of my concentration and my effort being on moving forward spiritually, I'm stuck right here, just spinning my wheels, wondering, am I really saved? You can never progress spiritually until you get the issue of your salvation settled in your heart. It'll never happen. It's like getting in a vehicle and getting in a mud hole and getting stuck. You're just there, just spinning the tire. I remember back years ago when we used to deer hunt with dogs. It was a common thing for us to get on them old dirt roads and get in mud holes and get stuck. It happened all the time. One particular year, this guy came to hunt with us. And it was a bad place. We told him to stay away from it, but he figured he could make it through it, and he drove right off in it and got stuck like the rest of us had. We were all up there trying to get him out. Most everybody aggravated about it because they done told him not to get in the mud hole, right? But he figured he could get in it and get out of it. Well, he didn't get out of it, so everybody's up there. I can't tell you all the things that were being said on that occasion. Some of it wasn't real pleasant. But he kept saying this. He kept saying, I'm not stuck. I just ain't going nowhere. That's what he said. I'm not stuck. I just ain't going nowhere. Finally, one fella had enough of that and said some things to him and said, what is the difference? Really ain't no difference, is it? But that's where a lot of saved people are at right now. They're just in a spiritual mud hole. They're stuck. They're just spinning their tires. They're not going anywhere because they never have settled the issue of their salvation. And until you get that issue settled, you will never be able to get out of that rut, that mud hole, and move on in your life spiritually. And, of course, that's what the devil wants. Who do you think wants you to stay stuck in that mud hole, not moving forward in your spiritual life? It certainly ain't the Lord. That's what the devil wants for you. And that's one thing that'll happen. It will prevent spiritual growth. Here's one other consequence. You'll have no peace. You'll have no joy. It will prevent spiritual growth. And I want to say it will hinder your service for the Lord. It will greatly hinder your service for the Lord. I'm going to give you an illustration of this. Because there's a lot of ways that we can serve the Lord, a lot of things that we can do. But one thing for sure that the Lord wants His children to do is to be a witness for Him. Amen? I mean, I don't think that's anything that's a gray area. If you read the Bible, pay attention to what you read, you understand that God wants His children to be a witness and a testimony for Him. What I mean is once we get saved, He wants us to tell other people how to be saved. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing all that God intends for us to do. He expects out of all of His children, not just the preachers, not just the pastors, not just the evangelists and the missionaries. Every person in this building here this morning that's saved, God expects you to be a witness for Him. Amen? That's what He expects out of all of us. Do you understand that if you live constantly doubting your salvation, you will be a lot less likely to tell other people how to be saved? A lot less likely. I mean, think about it. How can you tell somebody how to be saved with any confidence whatsoever if you don't have confidence yourself that you're saved? Until you get that confidence and you have that assurance and know, hey, I am saved, it is going to hold you back and keep you from having confidence to step out and tell other people how to be saved. And again, that's what the devil wants to accomplish. Any way that he can hinder your service for the Lord, he'll do it. So he wants to just keep you in that perpetual state of doubt. Always wondering, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Because as long as you're there, you're just focusing on yourself and your spiritual condition, and you're not concentrating on others and thinking about their spiritual condition. You're just all about you and wanting to get that in your life taken care of. And until it is taken care of, it will always hinder you from faithfully serving the Lord. So this matter of doubting your salvation is a much more significant issue, I think, than some people realize. Here's what I want to do last of all this morning. The last point in this message is what I call the cure for doubt. And this, I think, is the most important part of the message. And if you've been waiting on this point, thinking that I'm going to give you some great, grand, glorious, deep truth that you've never heard in your entire life, you're probably going to be disappointed. Because it's not some big mystical, magical solution that nobody's ever heard of until now. It's not like I got the corner on this. You understand what I'm saying? I'm simply going to tell you from the Bible what I know many preachers have told people in the past, and probably what a lot of Christians have told others in the past. But here's the thing about it. You can tell somebody what the solution to a problem is, but until they accept that and apply that, it's not going to do them a bit of good. So I'm going to give you the cure for doubt this morning. I'm going to give you from the scripture what will help you have victory over this issue. If it's a problem in your life, may not be. But if it is, I'm going to show you what you can do to get victory over it. But it's up to you to take that and apply it to your life. If you don't, then what I'm going to say is not going to matter a hill of beans. Not going to help you a bit. But here it is. Y'all ready? Where is the cure? What is the cure for doubting your salvation? The cure is the Bible. That's the cure. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's look in the Bible. All right, y'all with me? Let's look in the Bible. 1 John 5:13, once again. The Bible says this: these things have I written. See that? Written. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. As I mentioned in the introduction, this is written to save people. People that who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. They believed on the name of the Son of God. Now, is that you? That's a question only you can answer. Okay, I can't answer that for you. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted him for salvation? All right. Well, this is written to you. That's what the Bible says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. But why were they written? Why did he write these things? Here it is. That ye may know that you have eternal life. The Bible is the cure. Assurance of salvation comes from one source. One infallible, eternal source. And that source is the Word of God. You have to look into the Scripture and see what the Bible says and take God at His Word if you're ever going to have assurance of your salvation. Everything else, listen to me, is sinking sand. Anything else you try to base your salvation on will leave you in doubt. The Bible is the only thing that can give you complete and lasting assurance of your salvation. You depend on anything else and you'll never have victory over doubting your salvation. And how does this thing work? Well, let me ask you some things. Has God said in His Word what a person has to do in order to be saved? I'm asking y'all. Has he done that? I mean, that's very clear, right? God has laid it out. In fact, the Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So the one that wants people to be saved more than anybody is the Lord, right? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So settle this in your mind. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That means you. They don't want anybody to go. I've talked to people in the past who wondered, well, does God love me? Does God care about me? Does he really want me to be saved? Can God save me? Will God save me? Let me answer all of that for any of you who are wondering this morning on the authority of the Bible. God wants everybody to be saved, and if you'll take him, he'll take you. That's what the Bible says. So has God told us in his Word what it takes to be saved? Absolutely he has. He's laid it out. Now I'm going to give this to you. What does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says. Very simple. There's one thing Paul talked to the Corinthian church about. He talked to them about being beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's what I'm afraid is happening with a lot of people. Some people are muddying up the water so much on salvation that a lot of people who think who then can be saved. Here it is. Simple. The Word of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know who that means? That means you. That means me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Y'all still with me here? The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to that now. This is the infallible word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse number 31. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know what I'm giving you? What am I giving you? I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you what the Bible says. I'm giving you what's written in the Word of God. And that is the authority. It doesn't matter what you think or I think or anybody else thinks. What matters is what the Bible says. And these are the things the Bible says about salvation. So does the Bible tell us what to do to be saved? Yes. Here's my next question for you. Have you, at some point in your life, done what the Bible says do in order to be saved? And again, I can't answer that for you. I can only answer that for myself. You have to answer that. Have you? Has there been some point in your life, can you think of a time, and maybe you can't remember the exact date on the calendar. That's not necessarily the issue, okay? Some people do, some people don't. Some people wonder if they're saved because they can't remember the exact words they said when they got saved 65 years ago. I can't remember some of the words I said 5 minutes ago. Let me ask you this. When you got married, some of you that's been married for a long, long time, do you remember every single thing that happened to you on the day you got married? I mean, every single thing that happened, every single word that you said that day, do you remember every single thing about that occasion? Are you any less married? Because you can't remember every single thing that went on? So I'm not asking you if you remember every single detail. What I'm asking you, and this is the thing that's critical, do you know there was a time, sometime, somewhere in your life when you did what God said to do to be saved? Let me ask you something. What are you worried about? You know what I mean? What are you worried about? God told you what to do. You just said, I did what God told me to do. So why worry about it anymore? You say, well, Brother Keith, I just don't feel saved. What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? It all boils down to this right here. It all boils down to, have you in your life done what God said must be done in order to be saved? And if you have done that, it doesn't matter how you feel. As I said last Sunday, there'll be a lot of times you don't feel saved, but that doesn't mean you aren't saved. What matters is, has there been a time when you did what God said to do to be saved? If you have, you're saved this morning, whether you feel like it or not. I almost get the impression, talking to some people that say they're saved, that they want to be lost. I mean, you try your best to help them, and it's just like nothing you say matters. Listen, I'm just trying to help you this morning. I'm giving it to you simply and plainly so you can understand it. If you have done what the Bible says, you don't need to worry, you don't need to fret, you don't need to doubt, you need to live in assurance. And any time the devil tries to get you to doubt, this is what I do. I'll just tell you what I do here. If there's occasion where I have doubt, this is what I do. I say, look, look, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have done that. Y'all follow me? I have done that. And so I know I'm saved. Not because I feel saved, but because of the authority of the Bible. I am resting not on my feelings, and not on my circumstances, and not on the experiences of others, and not on what people say to me. I am resting on the absolute authority of the Bible. That's what I rest my salvation on. And until you do that in your life, you will never live with the assurance of your salvation. You've got to rest it all on the written words of God. And anytime that doubt comes into your mind, you overcome that by saying, look, I may not feel saved. It may not even look sometimes like I'm saved. Other people may not even think I'm saved. But look, this is what the Bible says, and I have done that. And if you know, sitting where you sit this morning, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, then you need to rest on the Scripture. From this point forward in your life, anytime that doubt tries to creep up in your mind, just say, look, this is what the Bible says. I've done that. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Right? I'm saved. Enjoy your salvation. Live in assurance. Don't let the devil rob you of those things. That's what he wants to do. Just live in assurance, resting in the Word of God. And I would say this as I get ready to close. If you're here today and you have never done what the Bible says for you to do to be saved, I want you to have this assurance. I want you to be assured that you are not saved. And I want you to be assured that if you die today, you're going to go to hell. I want you to understand that. Now, if you've already accepted Christ, my prayer and my hope for you is that you'll get something from this and you'll put all this doubt and worry behind you and just rest on the Word of God and have assurance of your salvation. But if you don't know that there's been a time in your life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you, then listen, you're not saved this morning. And that's not my opinion. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I don't want you to go out of here with some false hope thinking you are saved when you're not saved. Because again, it all boils down to whether or not you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've done that, you're saved. If you haven't, you're not saved this morning. I don't care what anybody's told you, what anybody's said to you. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ, you're not saved this morning. And this idea that, well, you know, all my life I've been a Christian. No, you hadn't either. No, you hadn't. According to the Bible, when you were born dead in sin. And when you reach the age of accountability, you had to get saved or you will die and you will go to hell when you leave this world. Nobody is saved all their life. Nobody is. The people who are saved who are the ones that have trusted Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, you're not on your way to heaven this morning. And I hope that before we leave this service that you'll come and accept Christ and get some assurance and know that you are saved. For those of us that are already saved, the cure is simple. God has given it to us right here. I have in front of me the infallible cure for doubting my salvation. I have the bedrock foundation, the never-changing Word of God. I wake up in the morning, I got a headache, sick on my stomach, I don't feel good. I stomp my toe going to the bathroom, feel like cussing. You know what? According to this Bible, I'm still on my way to heaven because my feelings have nothing to do with it. What matters is what the Word of God says. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thankful again for the opportunity to be in church. Thankful, Lord, that you are willing that none perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if there's somebody here today that isn't saved, I pray that you would help them to see that they're not saved and to receive you as their personal Savior before it's everlasting too late. And for those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to be grateful for our salvation, thankful that we are saved. And God, please give us assurance. Help us to take you at your word. Trust nothing else but your infallible word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.